You're listening to Digitally Enabled, the human stories behind branding. This is the place to gain greater insight into the human side of brand governance. Join Greg Silverman as he sits down with branding experts sharing real-life stories of how they face digital issues along their journey. Learn how others are dealing with maximizing the power of today's technology and get valuable advice straight from your peers. Here's your host, Greg Silverman.
Hi, folks. Greg Silverman here again on Digitally Enabled. I am joined today by Scott Doniger. Scott, welcome to the show.
Greg, it's great to be here. Really happy to have a chance to chat with you.
Yeah, really, really exciting mission you're on, Scott. So much exciting things you're doing. You've had a long career in branding and marketing. But tell everyone what you're working on these days.
Sure. So a good friend of mine, whom I met several years ago in Boulder, Colorado at the time, her name is Promise Phelan. She wrote a book called The Way of the Growth Warrior, which was a whole series of mentoring methodologies for technology founders, particularly African-American founders and female founders. Long story short, she wound up starting a venture capital company last year, and I decided to join her in that effort. So we are a venture capital company. We invest in early stage technology founders who are either diverse or female or both. And it's just a wonderful way to give back to these communities that have typically been underrepresented and underserved, not just in venture capital, but by the world. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to give back. There are some absolutely stellar, phenomenal founders out there, people that restore your faith in humanity, particularly when there's so much around us that is depleting our faith in humanity. So it's a wonderful mission, and I'm humbled to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for you. And I having just come out of the venture world myself, I know that you're reaching community that really needs opportunities that they just normally wouldn't gotten. So in your role, you have like an operations role, a marketing role. You're probably wearing a lot of hats. Tell us a little bit about like how you see digital and what you're doing to make people more digitally enabled.
Sure. That's interesting that you say that, because pretty much everything is anchored in digital these days. Most of the experiences that we have professionally and most of them personally are digital. And I'm old enough to now have lived through several of the waves, including the first wave back in the mid to late 90s. And even starting back then, I worked for a startup, joined as employee number 180. And by the time the company went bust in the first dot-com bust, it was called Quokka Sports. There were 600 people. We were actually the first company to stream live sporting events on the internet. But back then, the pipe through which digital media was being delivered to our homes was much smaller than it is now. And so I've seen the experiences change over time. What I have, and Greg, maybe this is the core to our discussion today, what I've seen work and actually not work, particularly for leaders of companies of all kinds, is many very talented and experienced people in leadership roles understand kind of where they want to go, but they don't necessarily have a playbook to get there. And I was fortunate enough to work with a couple of people in a past experience as the director or the executive director of strategy at a company called Sprinklr that wound up going public last summer. I was fortunate enough to build a transformation system. It's a whole series of artifacts that becomes a roadmap by which corporate leaders in the executive suite can enable and bring together all of the people and the resources and the processes that need to take place to transform a company from a digital standpoint. And we see that play out in extreme granularity from the experiences that a company might create for its employees on a smartphone to how all of their end consumers might engage with the brand, regardless of where they're touching the brand. So the metaphor that I typically use when I talk about the concept of a playbook, it comes from the domain that many of us are really familiar with, which is sports. Pick your favorite sport, pick your favorite sports team. Just look at professional football. Bill Belichick has written the best playbook for how to play football. Now, it changes depending on the team that he's playing against. But in the absence of having that playbook, Phil Jackson did the same thing with the Chicago Bulls. Steve Kerr just did it again last night with the Warriors. In the absence of having a playbook, it's almost impossible to achieve the success that you want. You have to win on paper first. So the transformation system that I wound up building, it wound up being deployed by dozens and dozens of companies to help them understand how to leverage digital technologies to achieve the objectives and the goals that they're looking to achieve. It's a series of artifacts that starts with a journey or a maturity model. There's a model of value. There are models of ROI. There are models of operations. And together, what it creates is a playbook for a company to bring together the disparate teams and the divisions internally that are typically so siloed. This is the architecture that I've seen work in the past, and I'm actually trying to bring the pieces of this together to our little venture capital startup now. So my role is to deploy the elements of the playbook, even as a very small organization. Venture capital companies, I'll just add this one piece here. Venture capital is actually a pretty simple strategic entity. You have to take in money. You then find companies to invest in, and you deploy the money. It isn't more complex than that. Now, the complexity arises in terms of who you're going to get money from. And have you been able to craft your story well enough to compel them to invest in you as an entity? And then from a deployment standpoint, you have to find these needles in haystacks, the diamonds in the rough, the companies that are worthy of investment. And it is a much more rigorous process than just, it's not a gamble for us. We're very, very rigorous in terms of evaluating both the founder and the founder's company. So that's kind of everything that I have to say in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's good. So let's talk a little bit to help our listeners. You know, you've pulled together the system. You mentioned the company you were at. I'm sure it was informed by some other places. How did you recognize that? It sounds like you built like an ecosystem, a kit of parts that maps to an ecosystem. How did you discover that? Like if I were there sitting somewhere as a brand manager, how would I know I'm ready for the playbook?
Okay, so those are two very interesting connected questions. So the first part of it is I had been an analyst at Forrester Research in a past life, and I worked on a variety of different kinds of models in the realm of what I just described to you. So this was kind of core to my being. I'm an analyst by nature. I had been on the agency side, and it was more of an executive consulting capacity. So while I didn't work at McKinsey, I had always been involved in creating different kinds of models to help clients and customers achieve what they want to achieve. But in my tenure at Sprinklr, I was lucky enough to meet a guy named Tom Butta, B-U-T-T-A. Tom had created and deployed in his career in marketing and consulting a very interesting model that I hadn't seen used before. He and I came together. He was the chief marketing officer at Sprinklr. I was the executive director of strategy. And we came together to put this playbook and the system together. And we then deployed it very successfully at Sprinklr over a series of years.
So is the assumption now that everybody has to navigate digital? So the playbook works because everybody needs it. Like it's not a discovery exactly right anymore. It's here's a playbook. You can get started with it.
Yeah, no, I think that's an accurate way to describe it, particularly in companies that you would call an enterprise, because there are so many different divisions. So take P&G, they have somewhere between 30 and 40 separate brands. Take a company like McDonald's that has a massive ecosystem of franchisees that are not necessarily required to adhere to everything that corporate wants them to do. Take Philip Morris, a company that I had a moral conundrum working with, but Philip Morris was trying to change their entire company. These are companies with extremely siloed internal business divisions. In some cases, and I sat through workshops and conducted workshops where these problems and challenges surfaced, the people responsible for their entire customer relationship management ecosystem, which spans across marketing and technology and customer service, they were not talking to different division heads because there wasn't a thing that aligned them to a core goal. And so what we were able to bring to some of these companies is a playbook that was anchored in how to leverage digital technology to create experiences, because customers don't care who's delivering the experience. They don't care if it's marketing or the CRM. Right? They just want a great experience. That's exactly right.
So when you've been in these places, what's the big challenge? I'm going to ask you for a couple of ingredients in the playbook in a minute. But, you know, what's the big challenge that everyone should look out for as they try and digitally enable?
Great question. And I think I may have previewed it in some of the answers that I've been giving so far. I'm a trained and certified customer experience consultant. That doesn't matter. But what matters is the posturing and the positioning of customer experience. It's very much an outside-in approach. I think the biggest challenge that corporate business globally struggles with is a transformation, not so much of a digital transformation, because there are no shortage of really talented people now. All right, so we're two, three decades into the digital revolution. The revolution that still has not taken place is the outside-in approach. Everybody within an organization, from the legal people to the product procurement people, from accounting to marketing, has to think customer first. What is the perspective of your customers, which requires you to, and we've been saying this for decades now, but knowing your customer, it's understanding how to empathetically understand what their lives and experiences are like, so that every single experience that you create for them as a brand aligns with what their expectations are. This is not normal. The normal process, and I remember this, I worked for 10 years at BMW of North America early in my career. And it was not a normal thing. We used to talk quite often about the difference between the way many of the Japanese manufacturers thought of automotive production and your brand versus the way the German companies would think about it. And it was at the time, it was a very different way of thinking. The Japanese would go out and research exactly the kind of car that the American public was interested in buying. And then they would build that car called the Honda Accord. BMW wanted to build the cars that they wanted to drive the most, the 2002, the 320i, and then try to sell it to people and convince them that that's the kind of car that they should be driving. It's a very different approach. It was a stark contrast in business strategy. Customer experience is at the core of the way business needs to be done. Digital happens to be one of the ways to enable that, for sure. But it's the outside-in approach. And I still find so many brands that are brand-centric, product-centric, features and functions-centric, and people don't care. What they want is a great experience that illustrates how that company knows who I am and knows what I want. And so few brands have been able to crack that nut. You know, Apple did for a smaller segment, and now they've grown that segment. Nike's done a very nice job of really becoming customer-centric too, I think, in a lot of ways.
And it's really the core of the playbook is how do you make the customer experience point in every single moment relevant, right? And it's quite the transformation. So I'm hearing a lot of optimism, a lot of energy, a lot of creativity. Can you sum up your feelings about being digitally enabled in one word and tell us why is our final question?
In summing it up in one word, to sum up my digital experience?
Yeah, your feeling about it, just feeling about it.
Oh, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Challenge. It's a real challenge. There's a challenge personally. There's a challenge from a business perspective. It's challenging. We live in a world that is being disrupted. The most challenging aspect is speed. Human beings were not designed, in my view, to process information at the speed with which we can now access it.
Yeah.
Or let's put it this way, we're having to change our brains to process information in ways that the human brain is not ready to do that. It's not set up for it. I believe in neurogenesis. I believe that brains can be rewired. I'm a real advocate of all of that kind of research. My dad was a neurologist for 60 years. I was never smart enough to follow in his footsteps, but we don't have the capacity to properly, maturely, morally, ethically, and intelligently process information at the speed with which it's coming at us and at the speed with which we can access it. And so if you're a business, it's really something to think about. Attention spans were never that long. Now they're less than 3 seconds.
Yeah, it's a great challenge and a great discussion, Scott. Thanks for joining the show. Really appreciate it. Say goodbye to our audience if you like it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure, Greg, to talk with you. Hope we can have a chance to do it again. And I look forward to more sessions.
Everyone, digitally enabled, Greg Skilverman. Once again, look forward to have you all tune in next time on this podcast, Digitally Enabled.
That's all for today's episode. We hope these insights from top brand managers help you as you face your own digital roadblocks. Remember that you're not alone in the challenges you face. If you would like to further connect with fellow elite brand managers, join the Beam community by sending an email to gsilverman@monogle.com. Thank you for joining us. See you on the next one.